How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And welcome to Golf Talk Live. Once again, we're in the 19th hole. That's what we like to call our little relaxed Monday evening recap of the week, where we get to have a couple of beverages, sit around, talk about the tour, talk about whatever else is impacting golf. And joining me once again is Andrew.
How's it Andrew? Going?
Tremendous. But you brought reinforcements, because last week I statistically blew you out of the water with my numbers. So who you got with us this time?
So we have a college buddy of mine. And yes, I did need to bring reinforcements because, quite frankly, the statistics blew me out of the way. But also, I got to be honest with you, I'm hoping this doesn't backfire on me, but the bagging on my game was too much. So I need some reinforcements to try to help me out and back up my side of the story. And so we have Christian Nizamis. Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. Happy to be here.
Christian, welcome. And I'm sure, having played a lot of golf, collegiate golf with him, I'm sure you have a perspective on his game that you can appreciate if I were to, I don't know, for even just reference his putting stroke for just out of the gate right away.
There wasn't much that I learned from him in college, but his putting was atrocious. The guy missed more five-footers, I think, than anybody I've ever met.
All right, this is already going backwards. I'm not liking this. We may have to.
I like where this is going, Christian. I appreciate you being on the show. Looking to have you as a regular fixture here in the 19th hole. So let's just jump right in. What's going on out on tour? I always usually cover the Champions Tour because I'm the only one with gray hair on my face, but they're off this week. So we're going to jump to the ladies and talk about the Drive On Championship, which was played down in Reynolds Plantation, Lake Oconee, on the newly redesigned Jack Nicklaus Golf Course down there. And I have actually been to Reynolds Plantation, guys. It is beautiful. Tony Leodora, my co-host on the radio show, actually interviewed Jack. Here's a little known factoid. Interviewed Jack right after the completion of the redesign and got his perspective. It was extremely well received this week. And on top of the leaderboard at the end, Allie McDonald fires 16 under, 28-year-old American. She's number 62 ranked in the world, but she pretty much led open to close, 66, 68, 69, 69. That's some strong play, guys.
I don't think I've seen that many 69s or 68s in my entire career, so four in a row is pretty solid for sure.
Not too bad. Christian, got any thoughts?
Yeah, if you watch that tournament back, I mean, she just, from tee to green, she looks solid. I mean, there was really no stopping her. I mean, after 36 holes, you kind of realize that she was kind of in control of her own destiny during the event. And, I mean, she was just focused throughout the entire tournament. And, you know, she was determined to get to the end. And, I mean, hats off to her. She played great.
She did play well. I'll tell you who finished in second, folks, is Danielle Kang. And actually on the radio show this week, you can also pick us up on the podcast. The radio show does air on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn, Google, and now on radio.com, just like you're here in the 19th hole. But Danielle Kang, 15 under, one shot back. She has played exceptionally strong. Names on the top of the leaderboard every week, it seems like, or near the top.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a fixture up there. What I think, and I'm almost you know, you're normally the stats guy, but I think I finally get to steal the show from you a little bit, is Allie McDonald had her first career win this week too. So on top of a really well performance. I mean, to get your first win on the tour is always a big step. So congrats to her for sure.
Isn't that back-to-back first-time winners?
I'm not too sure. I'd have to go back and look.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah.
With that later, with that leaderboard, too, behind her, too, that was also really impressive the way she played, especially today, having the lead that she did and then closing it out with a nice 69 in the last round. That's impressive.
Absolutely. Bianca Pagdangar, minus 14. Bianca, my apologies if I butchered your last name. I maybe did. But minus 14 rounds out the top three. Christian, let me just go back to something you mentioned, though, which is tee to green. She hits 56 out of 72 greens this week. I mean, she was striping it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes for the LPGA or any tour that we're talking about. As long as you can find the short grass off the tee, you're going to obviously be in full command and trying to hit that ball close to the pin on your second shot. I mean, it's full attack mode for these girls out there, too. And more fairways you hit, better opportunity you got to make birdie.
And inevitably, the next question after, you know, you put the ball in the fairway is you're not going to on the greens. I don't have the stats in front of me for I did 52 out of 72. But let's talk about once she was on the green,
mm-hmm.
putting 30, 28, 25, 30. I mean, she was not really getting it done with the flat stick, relatively speaking, but I mean, when she was on the green, she was taking advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't watch every round that she played in this week, but I mean, if you're hitting putts under 30, I know a lot of tour players that's their goal. They want to be around that 25, 26, 27 mark when they're hitting putts. And, you know, I know you don't have to get done with the flat stick here and there. I mean, there's been numerous rounds in Andrew's and I life, for example, that, you know, you shoot even par and you have 36 putts. You know, so it just depends on, you know, how you can bounce back from mistakes. And she did that really well.
Well, discussing putting, now would be an opportune time to share something with the listening audience. So I once had this six-year-old who was a young upstart golfer, and he showed up at the U.S. Kids Pennsylvania World Championships. I think he drove every green, and if he had just two-putted, every green, he wins by five.
I don't remember this. I think you're lying. I think you're I think you're fifthing the listeners right now. For my own sanity, I'm praying that you're lying right now because I honestly don't remember it. But this is
folks, we are turning the – I am reaching really deep going back 20 years. But this was his introduction to competitive golf. He literally drove every green in regulation at the first U.S. Kids in Pennsylvania. And if he had just two-putted every green, he wins by five.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be talking either with my flat stick either because my dad, he calls me Mr. Three Putt. So I'm not one to talk about putting myself because I could do a lot better in that category.
but I bring this up because, Christian, you've seen it firsthand. I've lived the carnage. Andrew, what do you got going on there in your office now?
Well, listen, you know, I always like to make the standpoint of I always am usually because I'm so bad, I'm usually like 40 feet away. So I have to like free putt because to get it somewhat close is just an issue. But listen, we can always get better, right? Especially at our putting. But in order to get better, you have to practice. So right sitting next to me is the Perfect Practice putting mat. It's a great little partnership that we have. Our friends over at Perfect Practice, they're always awesome to us. These mats are able to be used in practically anywhere and can give you up to 15 feet of practice space, which we all need, especially myself, according to that story, which I'm going to have to go back and look at the tapes because I still don't believe you. But anyway, so you can definitely find the practice space anywhere you need. But because of our partnership with them, you can use our code GTL15, that is GTL15, at checkout for 15% off your purchase today. And then that way you yourself can get the ever most needed practice on the putting mat that you're going to need just like myself. So definitely head on over there again, GTL15 for 15% off.
Good deal. Good deal. So I look forward to our next round of golf and seeing your marked improvement with the flat stick. I'm sure it's forthcoming.
Hopefully it changes for us. That putting mat's coming in at a great time too, with winter around the corner.
I've been using it every day, 50 putts, 50 makes from 5 feet, so that way I don't have to listen to you complain about my missing my five-footers anymore. It's not going
we have all, that all great you're, right you're, now. You're, but. You're getting ahead in the show. That's later in the show. We have the five-footer conversation.
Okay.
But bottom line is I'm glad to see that you're working hard on your game. You know who was making five-footers and much longer? Patrick Cantlay this week, guys.
Yeah.
The Zozo Championship, Thousand Oaks, being played in California this week, not being played in Japan due to COVID, due to restrictions. Patrick Cantlay, 65 in the final round. He was dropping some bombs. And I've got some more statistics, as you know I would, but let me just round off the leaderboard here. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, minus 22. Russell Hensley, minus 19, logjam at 19. Hensley, Bubba Watson, Ryan Palmer, and Cameron Smith, all at minus 19. And only I have to just throw this in before we dissect this. Our good friend Kyle Peters on the bag with Corey Connors. Corey tied for eighth. That's just in time getting ready for Augusta. I would love to see that.
You know, it's definitely funny. I got to, as you know, I got to meet Kyle at my previous job down in South Carolina in Charleston. Good dude. Great relationship that I got to have with him. And as we've come to learn, he's always a good fixture here to give us some inside the ropes. But yeah, I mean, to really start getting hot at the right moment is key. And you would love to see him, and we would love to see him make a run, you know, here at Augusta coming up. So the one thing I got to make a point of before, you know, you go into your whole stats driven outreach here is it's almost at this point, especially that field this weekend, you either go low or you're not even close to the top of the leaderboard. I mean, these guys are just going low every single round, and it's straight out impressive. I mean, we have no concept of how low these guys can go on a day-to-day basis, but they just make it look so much easier than we can ever imagine.
All right, Christian, I'm going to let you jump in because I'm about ready to unload some stats here. So what's your thoughts?
Well, if you want to load in the stats first, you're more than welcome to, or I can jump in. But, I've
never been opposed not to talk. So here we go. Patrick Cantlay was hitting it like 295, 291. He's hitting it right out there. Weekly average was 290.1, folks. And then comes the final round, and I find this interesting. We keep talking about, you know, we're going to talk later in the show about hitting it deep. Cantlay only averages 271.5 off the box in the final round, but 3.29 strokes gained on the greens.
Yeah.
Clearly perfect putting map must be in his hotel room.
He must bring it. It must be in his travel suitcase or something. Cause I mean, I know we're going to bring it up here later on, but you know, that's actually astounding. And I'm glad that you brought that stat up cause I didn't know that. But I mean, reality of things is, you know, we always were talking and we just talked about even with the LPGA that hitting out of the short grass is key. And, you know, different guys have different ways of going about it. And Patrick said, listen, I feel comfortable doing this, and he stuck with it, and it's obviously worked. So hats off to him.
Absolutely. Christian?
Yeah, if you watched him in the last round, especially today, I mean, I was watching on TV from start to finish basically today, and I mean, he just – His putting today, I mean, you could have the hole was just enlarged for him today. I mean, everything that when 15-footer, 5-footer, 20-footer, no matter what kind of putt he had, you know, he just had so much confidence in the short stick today. And, you know, if you can go week in and week out and have so much confidence in your putter, then, you know, you're going to be at the top of the leaderboard every single week. So he played very well today. Hats off to him.
So I would be remiss if I did not bring up Tiger didn't even sniff number 83. Everybody, I know we talked about it on the show, high hopes. Does Tiger get it done? Is this number 83? Literally his – I mean, he played well in the second round, 66. But, I mean, first round, he dropped an 87-foot bomb, and that's about all he had in the first round. And he played with Phil today, and I love the quote I read. He also played with Adam Long. Poor Adam goes – well, they had a lot of wins in this threesome, and I added one or something.
I mean, when you're playing with two legends like that, I mean, you got to have some sort of sense of humor with it, right? Like, you know, there's only so much that that you can do to try to compare yourself to being up there with those types of greats when you've only had one win. But no, that's hilarious. I know it was my pick last, you know, this past week on the show, and I know we were all, like you said, had high hopes for Tiger. The only thing that I could say realistically for the Tiger, and we keep talking about it, is he's starting to look a little bit more consistent. He talked about after some rounds that he's, you know, trying to hit some shots to make sure he's ready for Augusta. And at this point in his career, I mean, I think we can all agree, like he's aiming at Jack's number, right? Like he wins one, he's got Sam Snead. So at this point it's about Jack's record. So, you know, he's got two shots at Augusta where realistically he can do what Tiger does. And I think he's got more focus on that than he was in my mind at the Zozo. Like I think he's focused on, I got to win the Augusta and win it now. So.
Yeah. I mean, Tiger, I mean, he's the GOAT. He's everybody looks up to him. He's a great player, obviously. I mean, he's chasing Jack, like Andrew said, you know, but people are always going to question if he could do it or not. People are always going to question if he could beat Jack or if he's better than Jack and stuff like that. I mean, you know, if you watched him play today, I mean, yeah, like Andrew said, you know, I think his sole focus is just on Augusta, going there, preparing for it, getting ready for the Masters because he wants yet another green jacket. And I think he could do it, you know, but I think he's just got to stay within his game. I think he's got to stay, you know, conservative throughout the round because the birdies are out there. You know, you can't be too aggressive at Augusta because you gotta play smart golf. And, you know, if you play smart golf and you make those putts, then you'll do really well.
Let me just throw this out to you, Christian, actually first part to both of you. Tiger's been major driven for probably ever since he kind of fell off tour and now come back. Yeah. His entire focus has always been on the majors.
Yeah.
I think even more so now, especially he's dropped back to a limited schedule, 12 to 15 events a year, all centered around gearing up for the major championships. But here's my question. I made the point of saying, does Tiger, first of all, does he get number 83? And my prediction is number 83 and then any other majors. It's going to be more of a limited type field, just like the Zozo was. 78 players, I think, actually 77 once Adam Scott dropped out due to COVID, and we wish him well. But I think Augusta, and I'm going to also throw in the Open Championship. I think those are his only real chances nowadays to win another major.
I mean, Christian, I don't know if you want to start it, but me personally, I know we talked about it a little bit last week. I mean, personally speaking, I think Tiger at this point in his career, he still has the ability to go low when he clicks, right? Like when he gets something going, he's got the mentality of I'm going to go for the dagger kill now. But I also think that, you know, this week is a proving ground. You talked about a limited field that, the limited field has, quite frankly, it's some of the best players in the world. So, sure. You know, this limited field has got nothing but the top end talent that he still needs to be able to perform. So, in my mind, Tiger needs to have something go right for him. Tiger needs to have some guys have a couple of bad weeks, and he needs to just hit the red hot iron at the right time, kind of thing. But I still think he has a chance to get it done. I can't ever, you know, go against Tiger. We grew up with him, and that's the rational, you know, mentality on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to bet against him, obviously. I mean, people, you know, last year were saying that he's done, he's washed up, you know, he's never coming back. And then, look what he did at Augusta last year. Obviously, I mean, everybody got emotional who played golf, and it was just great for the game.
Wins the Tour Championship even before Augusta.
And the Tour Championship even before that, yeah. But the road to get to where he was, obviously, and I think ever since he won that major, I mean, it's tough to bet against him, obviously. I'm going to say on an odd note here, I'm going to say that he doesn't get 83, personally. I'm going to go on an odd note here. I know, like mic drop. I'm gonna go on an odd note here and say he doesn't get 83. I think his best chance, personally, to win another major, if he even gets to 83, is Augusta. I think when he goes over to the Open, I think the U.S. Open, even the PGA, with them changing courses week in and week out, and I mean, back in his prime when he was amazing, you know, he could just hit the ball super, super far. And, you know, with all these young guys coming up now, you know, I think that they're just going to be not like intimidating for him, but you know, they can put four solid rounds together. And the question is his back going to hold up in the colder temperatures, you know? So I'm going to go on an odd note here and say he doesn't get to 83. I know many people will disagree with that, but I'm gonna
sure
go
hope
to
you're
it.
Wrong. I sure hope you're wrong. Cause I would love to see it.
I would love to see him break Jack's record, but I just think looking at the statistics this year, I don't think he's had a really good year playing golf. And I don't think that he is going to play well personally at Augusta this year.
All right. So I think you're speaking the truth. There's a lot of true in there. You know what else is true, Andrew?
What's that?
My true Lynxwear golf shoes that I have on once again.
Okay.
Did you link my segue there?
That was a pretty good little overlay there.
No, in all seriousness, I played my first round this week. Nine holes in the true Lynxwear. We talked about them last week. I personally love them because you can wear them on course and off course. They may be the lightest golf shoes I've ever worn in my life. And part of the reason that is they're actually made from recycled yarn. So they're not only a great product, waterproof, but they are also good for the environment. So true Lynxwear. Folks, if you have not checked those out, look them out. They're a great partner here with the show. I can personally attest to them.
You know, that was a pretty smooth little transition. You know, I'm not.
I'm smooth.
Wait, Andrew, wasn't that when I was with you a few days ago? Wasn't those the shoes that you were wearing?
Yeah. So when we
you took me out to dinner that night. So yeah, you wanted to dress up and look good for me, and you were wearing those really nice shoes, right?
Well, it wasn't for just you. I mean, I had
to look
good for the lady friend, but you know, I mean, but yes, those were the True Link shoes that I was wearing.
They look good. Wow.
They look good is an understatement. They looked amazing. Like, they looked fantastic. They look comfy. I even picked them up. They were light. I could easily see myself walking around in those. They were slick. They were cool. They were fit. I mean, geez, if Andrew can pull them off, anybody can, honestly.
All right. I don't know if that's a slide towards me or just a benefit to the shoes, but we're going to get off of that regardless.
You know what? I'm just going to like to say, I like having Christian here joining us in the 19th hole.
I'm not as much of a fan as when I was originally, you know, starting beforehand.
I like where this is going.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, they're sweet.
Speaking though, I'm going to try to get this off topic as quickly as possible. So since I see you're wearing a hoodie, Dad, I got to bring it up.
Yeah, I'm comfortable right now.
So I got to bring it up. The hoodie, we've seen this now a couple weeks in a row. Golf hoodies on tour. Guys are wearing them. You know, the golf purists say that it's not the right thing. Me personally, I think Christian, you know, I think we can agree this. It's cold. I'm wearing whatever keeps me warm. It looks good. You know, what's your thoughts?
All right. Well, first of all, before we dive into fashion in the hoodie, I'm a big fan of the hoodie. I like wearing the hoodie. I'm pretty relaxed right now in the 19th hole with the hoodie. By the way, I do have my glass of Jameson. We would talk about the shameless plug once again for the Golf Talk Live Irish Golf Tour happening next September. But you failed to mention something else about fashion. I'm very disappointed in that.
Okay.
Folks, if you can see our video version, I have on my hat from the cradle, site of where I spanked Andrew.
Listen,
it's not hard to do.
Listen, I think that was the only round
so
that you were within even 10 shots.
Piners, if you would like to involve, have the 19th hole come down, and we will be happy to do the show down there at the cradle.
Can we do it from the pine cone?
I will do it from – oh, absolutely, I'd do it from the pine cone.
I mean, we have to do it from the pine cone.
Absolutely. You, me, Christian, and I guess we're going to have to find a fourth.
Well, there we go.
We'll find one.
Okay.
Now we're back to the hoodie. Started to get us off on a tangent. The hoodie. I am a golf purist. I am the old man here, and I can defend myself against you two young guys. Why do you have to wear the hoodie on the golf course? I'm all about the hoodie, but why on the golf course? I'm not down for that.
All
right, Christian, you start because I gotta calm myself down here.
The golf hoodie, in my opinion, is the fashion style of 2020 for golf. I love them. Absolutely love the golf hoodies. I want to buy one personally, right? I mean, you watch JT wearing them. You look at Rory today wearing them. I mean, Rory put – I mean, what did Rory shoot today? 60 – I think he shot 66 today, 67?
Did the hoodie contribute to him shooting 67, Christian?
Hey, if you're playing well and you're looking good, I'm a big fan of the hoodie. And also, your ears get a little cold, you put the hoodie over your head and you're a little warmer now.
Listen, I'm not even going to let you try to defend your side of the argument, Dad, because you are
– You put a hat on. You live close enough to Canada. You put on a toque.
Listen, you have a hat on, and what's not still covered? Your ears. Christian is 1,000% right. You have the hoodie. You can cover your ears. Keeps you warm while you're walking down the fairway. You don't have to have it up all the time. And quite frankly, it is the fashion statement of 2020 on the PGA Tour, and I love it. Because quite frankly, I want to be comfortable. And I know I'm not going to be shooting 66, so I want to at least look halfway decent while I do it and be comfortable and warm while I do it, because it is freezing cold up here in the Finger Lakes Rochester area. And quite frankly, I need warmth. I can't golf when I'm freezing cold. So you can say that the golf purist side
just when it's freezing cold?
I mean, listen. Listen, looking good is half the battle.
If it's a brisk morning in the summer, I'm wearing it.
Listen, I'm telling you right now.
I meant you just can't play golf in the freezing cold.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, by any means of the word. But listen, you're getting off topic here. You're trying to get us off topic because you know we're right.
I'm deflecting.
Exactly. You're deflecting.
I'm telling you right now, and I will say I'm not that old that I'm a full zip kind of guy. I'm a quarter zip pullover. I prefer, you know, a vest more with no sleeves because I'd like to have freedom in my arms. But why do you?
Dad, you are the Colin Montgomery pull. You are the Colin Montgomery vest type.
Why do you have to have? Why do I have to have the hoodie?
You don't have to have the hood up while you're golfing. No, we're saying
no,
that
no,
as you're
no, no, no. That's not what you guys, young guy said. You said if your ears get cold, you pull the hoodie over
as you're walking down the fairway.
That. Yeah, I mean, look at. Have you heard a golfer complain about the hoodies yet on tour?
Nope. See,
you I have don't not have heard an argument of one golfer
we,
on tour
we are complaining
about the golf
debate.
Hoodies. And if it wasn't a good fashion trend, then the commissioner would have came out and said that they're not allowed on tour.
Boom, mic drop. I mean, I'm going to go a step further, which is a few years back, they had the joggers come out, and that was the golf purist's worst nightmare. Yep. I can't wait to see you as I wear a golf hoodie the next time we play golf, and I can't wait to see you get so upset while I'm kicking your butt wearing the hoodie and I'm warm and you're wearing that stinking little vest thing that doesn't keep you warm at all, and you're wearing your hat that doesn't cover your ears. I'm gonna be warm and happy, and you're gonna be angry at it, and I'm gonna say, listen, you should have had the hoodie.
Okay, all right, we're gonna wait. Well, folks, this is yet to be settled, because I'm telling you right now, I got comments coming. I'll save it till next week, or I'll save it till the next time we're all together and we can go out and play the golf.
Okay, and we'll videotape how warm, and I'll be warm, and you'll be all nice and shivering over there, and I'll be fine.
And I'm gonna tell you that if the next guy I'm about to talk to, if he's wearing a hoodie, he doesn't carry it 400 yards.
Who are we talking about?
Bryson.
Okay, well, listen here. I mean, with that,
if Bryson breaks out the hoodie, I think he's gonna rip through it because he's gonna be swinging too hard.
I was gonna say, I mean, you're saying that he's gonna be. You say he can't wear it. I think he physically, literally, can't wear it. Like Christian said, because he's so big that he literally physically can't wear it.
All right, Christian, what do you got about this 400 yard? Have you ever hit it a quarter of a mile?
If I hit it down a road in the middle of nowhere, I could. but I mean, look, Bryson is changing the game. I think. I mean, he's changing it for his style, right? A lot of people disagree with it. A lot of people think it's cool, unique. You know, people think that he's damaging his body by putting all these protein shakes and calories into his system and stuff like that. But I mean, look, he's pounding the ball 400 plus yards, and he's got a short game to prove it as well. I mean, ever since he's been beefed up this season, he's been playing extremely well, minus a few bad tournaments here and there. But I mean, whatever suits his game perfectly is, you know, whatever gets the ball in the hole in the least amount of times is what you're going to do.
is this the here's the question. You're the new guy at the table. Is this the evolution of the game, or is it the evolution because of him as an athlete redoing his perspective, not unlike Tiger? Because I believe that Tiger changed the game. The Tiger's greatness is actually how the athleticism he brought to golf.
Yeah,
his fitness regimen. Is it that, or is this another example? Should there be further conversation about rolling the distance of the golf ball back?
I think there should be more conversation about it personally, but I mean, you see more and more guys on tour from, regardless of their age, they're in the gym a lot more, right? Because they want to hit the ball farther. But I mean, for example, you said earlier today, Patrick Cantlay averaging 270 off the tee and he won the tournament, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter how far you hit the ball, in my personal opinion. Well, I mean,
I'll be honest with you though. I mean, the quote from Tiger, I think, was this week. I mean, they asked him if distance is the problem now. And he goes, distance was the problem 20 years ago when I started it. And now it's just an adfect of, you know, people are figuring out how to beat the system almost. And quite frankly, I mean, I think he's an athlete. He's realized that if I can use this to my advantage, I have a better chance of winning a golf tournament. It's not against the rules. Is it something that everyone's going to be able to do? Probably not. But at the same token, you know, we always asked, and I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we asked how far is too far. Like, quite frankly, I think he's not even taking it far enough. I mean, he's hit it 400 yards with a 45 inch driver, and he thinks he can hit it even further with the 48 inch driver. So you got guys that are already trying to replicate it because they realize that there is such an advantage. And, you know, if he's putting in the work, like I even said a couple of weeks ago, then by all means, he deserves it. And if one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time in Tiger Woods comes out and says that distance was the issue 20 years ago, what does rolling the ball back even do? Like, all it's going to do is just downgrade the everybody, and he's still going to be farther out there than everybody else.
I actually believe the real question comes, and I've obviously seen this in my lifetime. When I was your ages, I was still hitting a persimmon driver with S100 shafts, and the ball, you know, it looked like a powder puff coming off there. It isn't the ball, in my opinion. The shafts. It's the lightweight material that they're able to make equipment with nowadays that these guys are able to swing and increase their swing speed. That's my humble opinion. I'm not a scientist. Don't play one on TV. But that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, shafts play a huge factor too. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, Bryson, that's the beauty of golf, is that you can swing it however you want. You can play however game you want to play and have your different game plan throughout the week. I mean, if you look at, you know, Bubba Watson, for example, has never had a golf lesson in his life, and he's hitting the ball 330 yards consistently. And then you have Bryson, who plays with the same length clubs every single time, and who's hitting the ball 400 yards, I mean, give or take, consistently right now, at least. But then you have a guy like Matt Wolf, who has a unique swing as well, and he's only averaging probably 310 off the tee. So it all comes down. I mean, golf too, you can hit the ball as far as you want, but I mean, the experience in my life, like when I was playing Division I golf, I would get outdriven all the time, but I'd have a better scoring average than everybody else on my team just because of my short game ability to get the ball in the hole. So if Bryson wants to do that, he's got to back it up with a short game here and there, because game, you can make the hole shorter, but you also got to put the ball in the hole.
I want to cut you off, but I think
you did though.
Well, you know, we won the last debate, so we have right away. So I mean, personally speaking, though, I mean, it also goes back to Bryson is trying to be the next dominant force on tour, right? Like, just like every other player wants to be, and Bryson is doing it Bryson's way. He's got same length shafts, like Christian mentioned. He's got all this. He's got all that. What I truly want to see is, does this translate? I mean, it translated at the U.S. Open where everyone was missing fairways. So his mentality was, I'm going to hit it farther up so I don't have to worry about hitting 7 irons out of there. I'm hitting wedges out of there. And I almost want to see how it works at the other majors to determine whether it's actually working. Because we all say that the majors is what's important. Like, I can't wait to see him try to hit the 400 yard drive and see if he can't, you know, drive.
Yeah, but at Augusta, that can't work every time, though.
He's gonna step up on number one, and he in theory can drive number one at Augusta National.
Which goes to my point. Like, I mean, some of these holes, yes, you can't always take it right at it for Augusta because of, you know, everything that's involved with it.
I don't disagree. And look, I'll tell you what, we're gonna be able to debate this shortly. It does come down to, I want to bring up, Christian, your point, collegiate golf, D1 golf. It all comes back to putting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to gain strokes and you're revolutionizing the game in putting, you're probably doing that through our October product of the month, which is, Andrew, drum roll.
Those are a pyramid putter. So our pyramid putter, as you mentioned, is our October product of the month. You know, quite frankly, we've already been bashing me, but missing putts, but you know, I know that our viewers out there get just as mad as I do when they miss short putts, and I have the cure to it. I have used it myself now. And quite frankly, you're going to start making more putts within, you know, the 10 to 5 feet area. And our good friend over at Pyramid Putters, Matt Stevens, came up with this idea and this design, I don't know. I'm not, like you mentioned, anywhere near the scientist, but it works. So it's a special promo that we also are going to be having going out. That if you do want to try it out, it is GTL15, just like our other discount codes. Go check them out. You can get 15% off your first purchase. And again, start making more putts right now. Our winner also, as a side note, this month, is Jonathan Peterlin. So, Jonathan, we wanted to thank you for participating in our contest. We will be sending you a direct message here shortly with details to get for you to be able to get over to Matt Stevens and Pyramid Putters to make sure that you yourself can be able to start seeing the benefits of one of those in your hands as soon as possible.
Excellent. And that contest you're talking about is our Instagram contest, folks. If you follow Golf Talk Live on Instagram, Golf Talk Live, we're also on other social media channels, Facebook, we are at Golf Talk Live. On Twitter, we are TL Golf Talk Live. But Instagram ran a contest. Jonathan wins the contest. We're going to get that pyramid putter over to you as quickly as possible. Congrats as well. And we're going to probably have another contest up here within the next week, right, Andrew?
Yeah. Next month is going to be Next Belt, which will be our next upcoming product of the month. And we have a special one going on for that one as well. So be on the lookout for our Instagram page. That's where we're going to be hosting the next contest. And be sure to, again, keep checking us out to make sure you get all the details necessary.
Christian, you don't need a pyramid putter, right? Because you make everything.
No, yeah, I make everything, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would gladly take one, obviously, because I change putters. Like, I think I go through 5 putters a year until I finally get the right one that I like. So,
hang on, Andrew. I say that in sarcasm. In all reality is, you put this in everybody's hands, they're going to do better. It is.
Yeah.
They really have revolutionized the putting game.
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about, and like I mentioned just recently here, you know, the way that it's set up is we're not perfect, right? We're the average guy. We're not perfect. We're gonna miss the center of the club face, and it's figured out a way to make sure it gets back online. And that's the name of the game, to make it more putts, is keeping it online. So, Christian, I'm not even gonna bring up the fact that I have seen you throw on multiple occasions the putter on the ground in a missed putt. So although you rag on me, I got a few stories myself that I'm going to hold my tongue on.
All right, let's hold off, but let's look at, so more on that in the future, talking more about the future. Let's look ahead for golf. Ladies are off until November 19th when they will be down at the Pelican Women's Championship. The champions are at the they're at the Timber Tech Championship at the Old Course at Broken Sound down in Boca. Been there. Great place. Great track. Should be a good time. And Andrew, Where's the junior circuit at? Where's the boys? Where's the boys playing next week?
The upcoming week, they're going to be down in Bermuda at the Bermuda Championship. So it's going to be an interesting one. Not a lot of big time names like the Tigers and JTs. A lot of the guys seeming to be taking the week off as they again start preparing for Augusta with the November Augusta National and Masters. But still some notables are in the field. At the time of recording, I wasn't able to, unfortunately, like we normally do, grab the odds for betting odds. But a couple of notables that I wrote down that are going to be in the field this week with Brendan Todd being last year's winner, Will Zalatoris, which hopefully I didn't butcher his last name too bad. And then a couple of major winners, Stuart Sink, Jason Duffner, and Danny Willett are also in the field. So a couple of big names, a lot of guys looking that are, you know, the journeymen out there on the tour, looking to hopefully make a name for themselves this upcoming week. So it should be an interesting contest. I would love to hear, though, despite all that, who your picks are going to be for this week.
I'm going to go last. What do you guys got?
I mean, I'm going to go with someone Andrew just said, just because of the way he's played this season and his putting. And I mean, I think he's definitely played really, really, really well this year and definitely put his name on the board. I'm going to go defending champion again. I'm going to go Brendan Todd. I'm going to think he's going to do it again. I mean, if you look at his statistics all season, I mean, the guy has been rolling the rock amazing this season in the majors as non-majors and so forth. He's been hitting a lot of fairways this year and he's been hitting a lot of greens. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to back.
You are taking the easy way out and I don't like it.
I mean, there's a lot of guys because these tournaments are awesome to watch just because you don't have the big names in them. You have a lot of the, you know, big names too, but that we don't really talk about often. Right. So you have the guys who are trying to really grind out there every single week, week in and week out. And you see a lot of the younger names out there. I mean, you got to stack leaderboard, in my opinion, with, you know, Danny Willett, Jason Duffner, two previous major championships.
I was going to take Todd, but now that I passed up the teeing honor to you, I have to rethink. Andrew, who you got?
Well, you know, I'm hoping this guy gets back into the winner's circle. Got a chance to meet him in our younger days over at Yardley Country Club. And I'm going to go with JD and Jason Duffner. Just out of the pure fact that I've gotten to meet him before. He's a great dude and would love to see him get back into the winner's circle.
The hell with both of you guys. You both took my guys.
Well, we know that picking the same person is not going to be good for us. So you're going to have to pick somebody else because we've done that before.
Well, you took Tiger last week, just reminding me about that. So I'm going to, and I'm sorry to do it, but I'm going to take Stuart Sink. And it's not because you're my third choice, but you are. Stuart Sink. That's who I'm taking.
Way to make him feel good.
He's going to get it done, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm on his bag this week.
Now we know. That's completely false. But we'll just not act like that was brought up. But, I mean, we'll see. We've not been very good at these whole picking things, so going to be interesting to see if one of us can.
Christian being in the 19th hole with us now will change our luck. Mark it down, folks. Mark it down. All right. So look, we are putting out on the 18th green. Andrew's got the flag stick. Final thoughts, Christian.
Well, first off, I just want to thank you guys for having me. Obviously, it was a great talk with you guys. You know, I hope my pick wins because I'm the rookie on the show, obviously. So I'm going to be rooting for Todd big time this week. But overall, Andrew, you still stink at putting, and I hope that your putting drill helps you, buddy.
My final thoughts are that, quite frankly, I'm regretting inviting Christian on the show because I did not have it go anywhere near where I thought it was going to with the whole backup. I said I was going to hold my tongue, but after that previous comment, I will have to make the statement that I have seen him throw the putter into the lake on one occasion. So his putting can't be much better than he makes it out to be. And I'm going to root for JD like I made the point because I think, you know, Duff Daddy's got it. Gonna get it done. So
how many greens did you hit this past weekend?
Zero, but I had more chip-ins.
And how many putts did your fiance make?
More than me.
Exactly my point, brother.
Well, I also had more chip-in birdies than you did all day, so we're going to go with that.
All right. As the elder statesman here on the show, I am going to say, as I said, Stuart Sink, he's going to get it done, even though he's my third choice. But he will get it done this week. I have confidence in him. Christian, always great. Love to have somebody else help me rag on Andrew's putting stroke. And Andrew, just keep practicing. That's all I can say. All right, let's put the flag in. 19th hole. My drink is empty.
All right, guys. Well, have a good one. Remember to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google, and now radio.com.
Radio.com.
Also, make sure to give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll see you next time.